Kung Jade is a Haida storyteller, singer, drummer, author. She's from BC, but was in town a little while ago for a show, has graciously taken some time from her very busy schedule to chat with me about storytelling. Firstly, why is storytelling so important in Indigenous cultures?
I believe storytelling has always been so very important in Indigenous culture because it's a way to teach, especially our young people, about how to be good human beings, how to share, how to take turns, how to love one another, how to be thoughtful of each other. And also in the stories that I share, it's teaching them about how each of us has our own gifts and how we're meant to practice those gifts so that we can be a shining light to those who are still trying to figure it out. One of my main messages also is teaching about how to love ourselves.
Storytelling has been around for so long. Do you feel like it's something that will always be here?
Yes, we're all storytellers because we all have that ancestry. We have ancestors who started out in a very simple lifestyle, and this is what every single human used to do. When I talk to young students, I talk about how back in the beginning, we didn't have television sets. We didn't have radios. We didn't have computers. We didn't have iPads, but we had stories. And the stories might help little ones cope through, like maybe there's a very big storm or something like that. Maybe it might help calm them down, remind them that the storm isn't going to last forever.
How does one become a storyteller like yourself?
I didn't choose it. The stories chose me. I didn't want to be a storyteller. I used to be really shy and ashamed of who I was. And that was because a whole armed forces base was situated in our community and they built their own grocery store. They built their own recreation center. They built their own library. They built their own homes built in circles and they built their own school. And you couldn't be in any of those places unless you were one of them. But the first year that I started school in kindergarten, it was the first year they allowed Haida children in all those grades to attend that school because the Indigenous school had become too small. Those children were given misinformation. They were told lies about us as Haida Indigenous people. And, you know, they used to bully us in groups of two or more. They used to bully me in particular in groups of two or more. One day it was 17 kids against me. And another time, a few years after going to this school for a bit, it was 100 kids against me. And nobody stopped them because most of those teachers also believed those lies and thought we weren't worth it. I hated myself and was ashamed and wished I'd never been born. But I grew up and I got married and had three young children. And when my eldest son started kindergarten, something inside me changed and I realized I no longer had permission to be ashamed. Because if I had shame and self-hatred, my children would learn that too. And I wanted them to love themselves. I wanted them to be strong. So I faked that I was strong and proud of who I was. I faked that I loved myself and brought in my button robe to my eldest son's kindergarten class and talked about my great-grandmother making my robe for me and giving it to me at my high school graduation in front of our whole town. Before I knew it, the whole school of teachers lined up outside the door and said, oh, when are you coming to my class? And I'm like, no, this is a one-time only event. And they said, teachers are very resourceful and insistent. But I also had an uncle who tricked me into performing for his audience. I was very wary after that, but it was kind of like the universe was saying, no, this is what you're meant to do. And I really, really resisted for a long time until my uncle said, no, you're going to do this. And he didn't give me any warning. He was performing and he said, come and hear me perform, niece. Bring your family, bring your drum. And I said, oh, I'm so excited. I'll get to sing and drum with my uncle. Little did I know, he called me up and I brought my drum. And he's like, this is my niece. She's going to entertain you with the story while I change my regalia. And there were like 200 people, which was huge for me. And I'm freaked out. I'm like, uncle, I don't have a story. And he's like, talk about your drum. And I just wanted to get off the stage. So I quickly told the story and showed everyone my drum, but I left out a big part. But my uncle was listening. He spoke in our language and reminded me, hey, you forgot one part. And I'm like, and so I showed them. Then I just ran back to my place. I was so embarrassed. I knew I had to keep doing it. And eventually it was just part of me. And I knew that my storytelling was helping my kids. but it takes me a long time to learn something for myself. I think it was like 20 years of telling stories before I realized, yeah, storytelling helped my kids. Oh my God, storytelling helped me. Storytelling healed me. I'm now in my 30th year. It's only been 4 years since I started performing full-time. Before that, I was teaching my language. I was teaching. I was substitute teaching. I was janitor. I was a family support worker. I was a whole bunch of different things. Now I'm just performing full-time, and I absolutely love it.
If you were to recommend a story for us to hear or to read, Indigenous or non-Indigenous, what story would you recommend?
There are far too many stories to choose just
it's
one.
Hard, right?
There are far too many, but the one, my personal favorite that I perform is my Raven's Feast story, because it talks about exactly what I was sharing about how each of us comes from different nations and we each have our own gifts that we're meant to practice so that we can be that shining light for those around us who are still trying to figure out what their gifts are. But the other part is learning to love ourselves, because we have tens of thousands of ancestors who love us no matter what, who will always love us. And I give people homework when I perform this story live. When they read the book, they might say, oh, I really like that message. You know, it's really great. But when I perform it live, I give everyone in the room homework. I don't mind if they're senior citizens or if they're parents or, you know, whatever they are. I tell them the same thing. You have tens of thousands of ancestors who love you no matter what. And you're going to hug yourself every day for as long as you live. And you're going to tell yourself every day, I love me, because you deserve your own love. And you're meant to love who you are. You're meant to love what you look like, the size you are. You're meant to love the age you're at, because your body is your real home and you take it with you everywhere. And really, I believe love will change our world. And people will make the world a better place if they love themselves, no matter what. Because when we love ourselves, we automatically love everyone else.
I'm writing it down in my to-do book right now.
Okay, good. That's good. And then I give them extra homework and I say, okay, once you love yourself, I want you to teach everyone around you the exact same thing, because our world needs more love.
Well, you were here, you were performing live. Are you working on anything new that you'll be releasing?
I am, and it's really slow because I'm really slow. Going to be shaped into something where I love it just as much as I love Raven's Feast. Fingers crossed.
What is your website so we can all learn more about you and follow your adventures?
PebbleStarArtists.com. So I'm on there as Kongja Day. Both parts of my name are used at once, and the end part has two E's. Those two E's sound like A, and it has the best information because Kim really knows what she's doing. I don't.